Welcome to The Bonfire. This is the final episode of season six, and we've been focusing on the power of God. Such an encouraging topic, diving deep into different scriptures. And today, we're going to conclude with Exodus chapter 14. This is the parting of the Red Sea. God makes a way. God is continually guiding his people to the next level. It's important to look at how he does that and what are the lessons that we can learn and the practical application for us today as we follow and trust God and there's new victories God has for us. The parting of the Red Sea, it's all God. There's no way Moses or any of the people could push the water asunder. When God moves, there's going to be things that he does. It's supernatural. There's no human explanation. Now, some people are skeptical about miracles, but you can't shrink God's power. You can't stop his miracles. And as we go through the Bible, these accounts are so significant. This is the Word of God, the Holy Spirit communicating to us through different people. And we have these eyewitnesses, firsthand accounts. And ultimately, God is helping us to gain confidence in him. As we read these miracles, we know God is able. God is mighty. God is on the throne. God has the final say. God is good. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 14. And the context here is that God has rescued, is in the process of rescuing and setting free the Israelites from slavery and bondage in Egypt. Now, yes, there are 10 plagues. Yes, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn, but God's going to be glorified. God is glorified when we trust him. God is also glorified when someone opposes him, and his power, his justice, even his wrath are over the one who thinks they're at the top. Pharaoh is the most powerful human at that time, the most powerful military, the most powerful country. He feels like he's at top of the food chain. He can control God. He calls all the shots. God is going to show up and show out, and there'll be no one else that will receive the glory, God alone. As the Israelites are now traveling, they're being set free. The plagues have happened. They are marching away. Pharaoh has said, okay, finally, he appears to wave the white flag and say, I surrender, you can go. But as the Israelites go, Pharaoh changes his mind. He wants to go gather the Israelites, bring them back into slavery. His heart never changes. It's hard. And yet, God is going to prevail. God is not intimidated or stopped by a rebel. God is not changed by someone who tries to exert their force. God's plan and will prevail. That's true throughout the entire Bible, and it's true right here. Now, the Israelites, as they leave Egypt, God is very clear, as he sees all and knows all, that they are not going to go into war with the Philistines because they might get intimidated and then return to Egypt. God knows this about them. He knows if the Israelites head the path towards the Philistines and towards war, they will be intimidated and discouraged, and they will want to head back to Egypt. God's will is not for them to go back to slavery and bondage. When something scary comes in your life, don't go back to old habits. Don't go back to old sins. Keep trusting God and moving forward. God in his wisdom and grace guides them a different way, towards the desert, now towards the Red Sea. Pharaoh and the entire army are watching carefully what the Israelites are doing. And because they're moving around, because as God guides them, they take a step to the side and then move over again, it appears like they're wandering. It appears like they're confused. It appears like they're trapped. Pharaoh thinks this is our opportunity. Now we have them. Let's go seize them. God is in control and God will lead the Israelites. And there's a cloud during the day. There's a pillar of fire at night. God's presence. God is still with them. When you start to feel threatened, confused, you're not sure which way to go, remember, God is with you. God will direct you. The Israelites have seen God demonstrate his power over and over again through the plagues, and God still has more. God doesn't run out of power. God is not at any point trying to figure out, what am I going to do now? I already did these miracles. I don't know if I can do any more. That's not our God. Your view of God and his power and his miracles is very significant. Your trusting of God and his power. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Jesus said you will receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. Not timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. God wants to encourage us. God wants to empower us. And his power is made perfect in our weakness. Right here, the Israelites, they're in a weak position. They're on the run. They don't have the military. They don't even know how this is going to play out or where to go next. And they can't, in their own might, go against Pharaoh, the military, the chariots. They have no chance. That's not a bad position to be, actually. We love it when we feel like we're in control and we have the upper hand. But I'll tell you, when you are actually being humble before God, crying out to God, you have no hope unless God comes through. That's a decent place to be, because that's so often where God moves and does his greatest work. That's where the Israelites are here. They appear to be trapped. Now here comes Pharaoh and the army. And as they start to draw near, what are the Israelites going to do? The plan really hasn't changed in terms of reliance on God. The plan hasn't changed in terms of Moses is their leader. And the plan hasn't changed in terms of God telling Moses to lift up his staff. Do you know God has a solution and God has a plan, and God's plan is good in every situation? It doesn't mean every situation's easy. If we were in their shoes at this point, the Israelites, we would probably be scared. We would probably be wondering, what do we do right now? There might even be some panic in the camp. We know there's some complaining in the camp. Do you know what they do at this point? They go to the flesh instead of the spirit, and they go to Moses, and they start complaining. They're furious. They think they're going to die, and they're telling Moses it would have been better to go back in Egypt. It would have been better to stay in Egypt. They turn against him. Isn't it interesting that Moses can be faithful, and yet the people rise up against him? When you're honoring God, this world is going to rise up against you. Even though it's the right decision, not to swear, to have integrity, not to lie, not to take advantage of people, to walk in the light, to be pure. All these lifestyle choices are honoring God, and yet the world will throw shade, try to take you down, make fun of you, distract you, cause you to stumble, spread lies, tell you this way is not the best way. You get all of that noise when you walk in a way that's in alignment with Scripture. And Moses is leading the people forward, and yet the people want to go back. If you're in leadership, there's going to be times where you're trying to guide the people forward, but they want to go back. They are not always going to be trusting, and Moses deals with this roller coaster ride. If you're a parent, you know that sometimes your kids are going to love the direction you bring, and then there's going to be other decisions you make, and they're the right decisions, but the kids are going to be furious. They're going to say, you're a bad parent. You're no fun. You don't understand. You're too old. You don't get it. And they're going to say, go my direction. Go back. Go back. And you're trying to help your kid move forward in their character, in their abilities, in the open doors that God is bringing. See, God's direction and plan here hasn't changed. He's going to set his people free. Even though Pharaoh tries to grasp them firmly, he's going to set them free to go to the promised land. This generation will be set free from Egypt and slavery, but ultimately they're going to die in the wilderness except for Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses will die in the wilderness. Why? Because they fail to fully trust God. And whenever you're not fully trusting God, you forfeit some of the grace and the blessings that God wants to bring. It's so important in life to hold that position of fully trusting God. A halfway trust gets halfway blessings. Fully trust God, walk by faith, and God is faithful. God's promises are not going to change. Pharaoh's not going to change the fact that God's people will have freedom, and God is going to deliver them from slavery. God said it, he's going to do it. Will everyone go there? No. Why? Because not everyone's believing God's word. Not everyone's trusting God's word. Noah built the ark. He was saved from the flood. Why? Because he fully trusted God. But if you don't trust God, then you're not going to trust His Word. God and His Word are together. That's one. And you can't say, I trust God, but I don't trust His Word. No, trusting God is trusting His Word. He gives a word here, set free from slavery, going to the promised land. And the people will go as far as they trust God. We will go as far as we trust God. And that's true whether it's health in a church, revival in a nation, prayer. There's so many areas of our life where trust is going to be essential. And we've got to come back to God's word. What did He say? And if He said it, believe it and move forward. There's a moment here where Moses is tested. Moses is seeking God's help. Moses is crying out to God. It appears that Egypt and the military is going to take him down or capture him and bring them back to slavery. The people are telling Moses, terrible plan, terrible leadership, terrible results, and they're going against Moses. Have you ever had to stand alone with God? When even your own family or friends don't understand, they don't want to move forward, they don't like God's direction and plan, but you have to stand alone. Or maybe you have friends that reject God and you have to stand alone with moral clarity. You have to stand alone on the word of God. You have to stand alone when others are discouraging you. Moses learns how to stand alone because the crowds, they come and they go. They change. They're like the wind that blows. They're on board. They're not on board. They're just fickle. And Moses is going to need to be steady. As you mature in the Lord, you're going to need to be that consistent, non-anxious presence where you know God's word and you make the right decisions. And the people that come and go, you're going to have to release that to the Lord because some will go with you and some won't. So don't be discouraged. It's happened to Jesus. Some would go with him all the way, some only a little, some halfway. But he knew the Father's plan. And he was abiding with God, he was listening, and he was faithful. Our ultimate goal is to be faithful. Now, here's a key verse that I want to read. It's Exodus chapter 14 in verse 13. Moses answered the people as they're so upset. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Moses knows the battle is the Lord's, and this is how it plays out. He's going to lift up his staff. Why does he do that? Because the Lord said to Moses, stop crying out to me right now. Tell the Israelites to move on. Tell the people to move on. Raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Moses lifts up his staff, says to the people, it's time to move on. Move on from the complaining. Move on from the despair. Move on from the anxiety. It's time to move on. He holds up his staff, a picture of reliance on God. God's power comes through the wind, through the angel, literally the walls of water in the dry ground. As God holds it up, there's a tunnel, about 2 million people. They're going to start passing through on dry ground. This is a miracle I would love to go back and see. God has parted, and if God parted the Red Sea, he's going to be faithful to hold the Red Sea. And they continue to move on. Maybe that's a word for you today, is move on. Trust God. Trust God's power. Trust God's provision. Trust God's protection. And move on by faith. Now, yes, the Egyptians are coming closer. The Israelites are moving forward. The power of God displayed as he uses the staff, he uses Moses, he uses the wind, he uses the angel. God's using all, there's no limit to the ways that God is going to display his power. All are instruments of his power. He gets the glory. God can choose anything, anyone. God is able. And if you don't know that, let that sink in today. God is able in the fiercest trial to make a way. He's a way maker. And yes, they suffered. I'm not saying you're not going to suffer. They suffered in slavery. They are going to face some challenges in the wilderness. They're going to need to rely on God with manna every day. I'm not saying it's an easy road, but I am saying that God will come alongside you and say, this is the way, walk in it. Don't go to the left or to the right. Follow the ancient path. Don't rebel. Listen to God. Trust Him and walk by faith. We, for a short time on earth, we have a faith walk. We have a faith journey. And we don't go by sight. We go by faith. They are going by faith as they walk through the Red Sea. If everything you do right now is by sight, you're going to miss so much of what God has. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Faith is believing God before you see it and experience it. They're walking by faith, and here comes the Egyptians. Now the Egyptians enter in, and here's this tunnel, and now the Israelites are coming out of the tunnel. They are crossing the Red Sea. The Egyptians and the chariots and, you know, all of the impressive military going through thinking, yes, we're going to take the Israelites down. What happens? Now the wheels start falling off. And there's a lot in that. I won't fully unpack that. But their confidence for the Egyptians, it's in their military strength, their chariots. And what's happened? The wheels are falling off. This is not a newsflash. I mean, they've seen 10 plagues. They've been relentless, hard hearts, starting with Pharaoh, starts with the leader, doesn't it? And then what happens? Now, as their wheels are literally falling off, they're thinking, you know, God's fighting for the Israelites. As the walls are of water for the Red Sea, as it's parted, they're finally realizing, oh, maybe God's fighting for the Israelites. Let me tell you, God continues to protect the Israelites today. They will always exist. People always want to annihilate them, even anti-Semitism. But God is faithful, and they will not be annihilated. Now, I'm not saying everything they do is good or right, but it's about God's promise, His covenant. And in this particular case, they realize, this is the Egyptians, that they are going against God. They're going against far more than the Israelites. Have you ever in pride gone against God? We are stubborn, we're sinful, and we want to take on God. It's not a good position. No one has ever taken on God and prevailed. No one's ever taken on God and said, this is really great, I highly recommend it. And the Egyptians, now the water, God is helping the Israelites pass through. And then God stops holding the walls of water and they start to come down. And this is sad because, you know, God takes no pleasure in the death of a wicked. And yet at the same time, God brings justice and protection. And I don't have all the answers. There's some mystery there. But we never rejoice when we read, okay, now the Egyptians, they die in the Red Sea. But God does have limits, and when someone's out to kill someone else, God will intervene, and sometimes lives will be lost as well. We see it through battles in the Old Testament. We see it in the end times, and Jesus returns, and there are many who want to oppose and kill him. God prevails on behalf of the people that were helpless and at times hopeless, and God prevails with his power as he leads them towards the promised land. God is able to make a way when it looks like there's no way. The battle belongs to the Lord. They are not only going to pass through the Red Sea, but God is also going to guide them through Joshua to travel across the Jordan River. And this is at flood season. God is going to supernaturally do it again, and they are going to consecrate themselves. There's one generation that travels across the Red Sea in this miracle. There's another generation that's going to go into the Promised Land through the miracle, the parting of the Red Sea. Now the parting of the Jordan is the second. And you see some parallelism. You see some consistency. There are miracles that God brings that are similar to another miracle. God will feed the 4,000. God will feed the 5,000. God will do it differently, but he'll touch one and a blind person will see. And then next time Jesus will spit and it'll be mud and then rub it on the eyes and that person will see. God does it so it's not just a one time where people can say, oh, that's a coincidence. Oh, I don't know how that happened. Probably just happened once. No, God keeps doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. And the next miracle and the next miracle and the next miracle. And a lot of miracles are similar, because he's revealing who he is. And this is his statement, that the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. God rises above all of the idolatry in Egypt, all of the worship of false gods. There is an ultimate showdown, and it's bigger than the Egyptians and the Israelites. It's all the false gods and the real God. And our God, one God, three persons, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will not put up with false gods, and he will ultimately destroy all lies. Even the devil himself is thrown into the lake of fire. God can move mountains. God can deliver from slavery. God can part the Red Sea. God can guide people who really, if you looked at it from just humanistic perspective, have no chance of still being alive today with all the attempts to wipe them out. They really have no chance of going to the promised land in places like Jericho and prevailing there. But God is for them. How good is it sometimes just to be still? Like Exodus chapter 14, Moses telling the people, you only need to be still to trust God. The battle belongs to the Lord. Now, will you be active? Yes, God's going to give you direction. You're going to, at different points, move on, take those steps of faith. But there's a big difference between just hurrying everywhere and not being in step with the Spirit, and instead listening and abiding and letting God go ahead of you, knowing that if God is for you, who can be against you? Knowing that the battle belongs to the Lord. When it sinks in that the battle belongs to the Lord, whatever challenge you're facing today, it could be financial, it could be in a relationship, a friendship, it could be in serving or ministry. When you know the battle belongs to the Lord, you can have rest and you can take risks. You can have rest that ultimately Pharaoh doesn't have the final say. No bully, no abuser, no one who's intimidating, no one who's against God ultimately is going to be able to overthrow God's plan and power. But God will show up in spite of, in the middle of the storm, and God will show up in such a way that everyone will know that he is the Lord. When we get to heaven, none of us can boast. None of us have earned a spot in heaven, but God did it by his grace. It's his power on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And there's no boasting. When you think back to the miracle, like the parting of the Red Sea, there's just no way anyone can boast. I mean, how foolish would it be if Moses said, you know, it was the way I lifted up the staff. No, it wasn't Moses. And he's not even trying to take credit for it. But you see how ridiculous that would be. Over and over again, as we look back at the power of God throughout the Bible, God alone gets the glory, and there's no boasting. How is God's power at work in you today? Are you seeing deliverance where you're breaking free from sin? Are you seeing the renewal of your mind, some of the negative thinking and negative cycles? When you're tempted, are you trusting God's provision and saying yes, as God always gives you a way out? Are you overcoming temptations that have been trapping you? You're set free from strongholds and footholds in your life. Do you sense God's power as you share the good news of Jesus Christ? As you share your story, as you let the world know about this great God, God's power flowing through you with boldness and opportunities. Do you sense God's power as you use your gifts and you see that God is changing lives and transforming lives through the ways that you're serving him and the talents he's given to you, or through your money and your generosity and your giving? Are you seeing a kingdom impact? Are you seeing God's power in your church, a community of people who are in God's word together, in fellowship, devoted to prayer, and God is doing incredible things in your church? Don't settle for just a form of religion, but miss the power. Some people have the right doctrinal answers, but they don't have reliance. And because they're not relying on God, because they're not believing and trusting and saying yes to the Holy Spirit, they can pass the tests on a doctrinal exam, but the power of God is not flowing in their lives because they're just stuck in religion. And listen, Jesus said to the religious leaders, you don't know the scripture and you don't know the power of God. And the kingdom advances powerfully And I know there are parts in the body of Christ that are really skeptical about miracles and power and the Holy Spirit. I'm encouraging you today to say yes to His Word and say yes to His power. Both say yes to Scripture and yes to the Holy Spirit, because Scripture and the Holy Spirit are always aligned together. And so often I've seen someone will emphasize Scripture and the Holy Spirit's like an afterthought. And then sometimes people get so enamored with power and they just talk about the Spirit's power all the time, but it's not even in alignment with Scripture, what they're describing. And now it's this over-focus, like idolatry on miracles. Don't fall into that trap either. I'm not promoting that God's power is His ultimate attribute. What I am saying is that God's power is available to you today and probably far more than you realize. In the trial you're going through, in the temptation you're going through, in the trap that you feel you're in. And if you feel trapped and stuck, remember and go back to Exodus chapter 14. Look at God's power. Look at how He moves. In what we've talked about today, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. As God makes a way, you trust Him by faith. You don't go backwards. You don't go back to old traps, but you move forward. As God parts the Red Sea in your life, you walk on in victory. Tell others the story. This example of this miracle right here will bless generations because their confidence in God needs to be solid. Our confidence in God grows when we look at God's power. That's what we've been doing together at the Bonfire in this season. 7 different episodes. If you missed one, go back and check it out. 7 glimpses, 7 celebrations of the power of God. God is love, God is light, God is a consuming fire. And we want to have confidence in God. That's where hope comes from. Hope is confidence in God, which grows as you spend time in the Word and as you celebrate, you tell the stories of how God has shown up, how God's been victorious, how God has made a way, providing and protecting. Celebrate the goodness of God today and make sure that you're not settling for just religion, going through the motions, checking the boxes, just showing up, but not really opening up to all God wants to do in your life. There's just no substitute for opening your heart and your mind to the Holy Spirit, being filled with God's presence. And then when you are filled with God's presence, God's power is going to be evident. He'll get all the glory, but it'll be for your good. This is the Bonfire. We love to dive into Scripture in a way that's relational, conversational, like we're telling stories and looking at God's stories together around a bonfire. If this has been a blessing today, please share this episode with someone else. TheBonfire.org, you can check out all that we have. It's the videos, or if you just want to listen to the podcast, it's our joy to draw near to God. We have no greater blessing than His presence, and we meet God as we get into His Word. Let's keep growing in our faith, looking forward to the next season with you. And if you ever have a specific topic you want us to cover, reach out and let us know. Let's keep following Jesus. If you don't know Him, make sure He's your Savior and Lord. It's the best decision you'll ever make. It's a decision so many people are making. And God's goodness is at the core of the bonfire. We want to trust God together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We'll see you next week.